This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and thank you for joining me. I hope you do every week. We try On Target to be on target and talk about subjects that we think are relevant and useful and helpful and current to all of us who live here in the Western New York community. So, of course, in the last couple of shows, we've been discussing the different aspects of COVID and how it has affected our lives. And today, I was thinking that we should discuss how it has affected our mental health, because no matter what age you are or what position you're in or what situation you're in, I know that COVID-19, the pandemic, has really had a big change in our daily lives as well as all of our family relationships, our professional relationships, and all of this in many ways turns out to have affected our mental health. In the studio with me, talking to me now, is Melinda Dubois, and Melinda is the executive director of the Mental Health Advocates of Western New York. Got that right? Hi, Melinda.
Hi.
Hi, Melinda. It used to be called your organization, Mental Health Advocates of New York, of Western New York. I called it something else originally, change its name or combine with another group.
Yes, that's true. We were formerly known as the Mental Health Association, and there are many mental health associations across New York State and nationally. But we, a couple of years ago, we changed our name to the Mental Health Advocates because it's really a true reflection of the work that we do.
Well, that's a good lead-in to my first question, which is what kind of work do you do?
Sure. So the Mental Health Advocates, what we really do is we promote mental health and wellness in Western New York, and we also support individuals and families who are challenged by mental illness. So we have a large number of programs at our agency. We provide legal services, so if you are diagnosed with a mental illness, you can access our legal services, and we have pro bono attorneys that help with civil matters. We also have peer support groups for youth, for parents, for people that are struggling with mental illness. We also have a writers and well-being support group that's been in existence for over 20 years. And those peer support groups are actually running remotely during COVID. We also have an information and referral service, so you can call our number, which is 886-1242, and you can call and talk about services that you might need. And our staff are trained to provide access to all sorts of services and supports in our community. We have a child and family support program, so we really help families navigate the mental health system, and we provide peer support in schools and in hospitals. We also have an emotional skills training, which is a prevention and early intervention program in schools. And our staff work with pre-K through second grade little ones. And then finally, we have a workplace mental health well-being program, which we call Mindset. So we go into companies and agencies and provide support as well as workshops for how to have a mentally well workplace and really to help workplaces support their staff. So we provide a lot of services in the community, and we're really available for most people that call us and need to speak with somebody who is really struggling or needs some resources.
We have heard so much about the effect of mental illness and how widespread mental illness is in the community. Do you have like an idea about like 1 in 5, 1 in 4, that kind of thing?
Yeah. So according to the CDC, so before COVID happened, we used to say that about 1 in 5 Americans experience a mental illness in any given year. And more than one half will go untreated. So they will not get the help that they need. So that's 1 in 5 Americans. But now, currently, the National Institutes of Health say that more than 50% of Americans now meet the clinical definition for anxiety disorder or depression. So what we know for sure is that COVID and the issues that we're dealing with right now have a significant impact on everybody's mental health. So a recent survey also compared 2019 to 2020 and found that the number of people reporting anxiety symptoms have tripled and depression symptoms have quadrupled during the pandemic. So, you know, what I think is really a crisis right now, and actually mental health has been a crisis for our communities and our society, and COVID has really accelerated that for the majority of people. So while it's a crisis, it's really also an opportunity. So more and more people are talking about mental health and mental well-being, and I think it really opens up some space for more help, more services, and really more communication about mental health, which is super important when it comes to decreasing stigma. Because as you know, a lot of mental health issues come with stigma. People don't necessarily want to talk about their struggles. And yet the more people talk about them, the better off everybody is.
Absolutely. As far as stigma goes, even before COVID, there was a widespread attempt by the behavioral science people and your group, as well as across the whole country, really, to erase the stigma of that people always felt around mental health, so that people would get, or mental illness rather, so that people would get treatment and would not be afraid to ask for help. And it was actually called a stigma project or something like that. I'm sure you're aware of it.
Right. We're connected with an organization called the Anti-Stigma Coalition. And so what that does locally is it, again, provides education around talking about mental illness. They have an active online presence and frequently do Facebook Live interviews with folks. We also, our agency has a campaign, awareness campaign called Just Tell One, which really talks to people about telling somebody in their life if they're experiencing, you know, struggles, depression, anxiety, or suicidal ideation, even addiction. And so, you know, we have noticed this increase in people's ability to talk about their struggles. I just think about recently, Michelle Obama has a podcast, which I love, and she talked about this really feeling this low-grade depression during COVID and starting to question, you know, what's happening. She was feeling more tired than usual, and just kind of feeling not herself, and really noticed that that was a result of COVID and the struggles and the concerns and the anxiety. I mean, right now there's so much uncertainty and anxiety out in the world because we just don't know what's happening. The other thing that we talk about a lot is the fact that we're experiencing this, what we call collective grief or ambiguous loss. And what I don't think we realize is that everything has changed in our lives because of COVID. There's just such a dramatic, radical shift in how we function day to day. And with that shift comes also a lot of loss and grief. And so the more we can talk about that and just grief, the grief reaction and the fact that everybody's struggling, the better off all of us are.
You know, I was reading a story related to something you said before, that employers are very often unaware when an employee is having mental health issues or has mental health needs. And there's many programs now, or there's a trend towards trying to have employers more sympathetic and more aware of the mental health issues that that their employees may have.
Yes, yeah, that's true. I mean, one of the things that we do at the Mental Health Advocates is, I mentioned, we go into workplace settings and we talk about struggles with mental health. And we've seen an increase in the requests for those services. And I think what workplaces are recognizing is that their staff are struggling more than ever. And really, you can't ignore it. I mean, to really be a healthy workplace, it's important to provide resources and support for employees. And so that may mean connections to EAP programs, or also really taking a look at the structure and setting of your workplaces. A lot of people are required to have much more flexible workplaces right now, flexible hours, flexible workplaces because of the need to work remotely. And actually, that helps significantly for people that are struggling. But we also know that a lot of staff are struggling with trying to work a full 8-hour day while they're also trying to homeschool their child or trying to figure out how they can support or provide health care for their families. And so there's a real increase in stress and anxiety for our workers. And it really is important for employers to recognize that and do some things differently. I just was thinking about the fact that a lot of workplaces are focusing on workplace health and work-life balance. And so they may add, a meditation session during the middle of their workplace or, work day, or they may promote some kind of exercise or walking. All really, really wonderful things. And the other thing that's really important is you can't just do those things and then go back to a work setting, which is high stress, which may be toxic or unhealthy. And so we really, as a society, have to think about how we not only have our own responsibility for self-care, but our industries, our communities, our societies also have to really support individuals' efforts for self-care.
Right, absolutely, because it's going back actually to the stigma that we talked about before, people not being aware that others are suffering and what they can do to help them. If you just tuned in, by the way, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today we are discussing mental health, all aspects of mental health, and in the studio with talking to me is Melinda Dubois, who's the Executive Director of the Mental Health Advocates of Western New York. Do you, I didn't ask this before, but combine or work with other groups, and there seems to be a lot of, I don't know if there's duplication, but there are a lot of groups that try to help people with mental illness, Spectrum, Horizon, others. Do you work together or in coordination with them?
Yes, we do. We all work very closely together. So the Mental Health Advocates is, we're not a clinical provider, so we don't provide therapy, treatment, or recovery options. What we actually do is provide all of the kind of non-clinical supports which are required for people that are struggling. And so we regularly meet with our community support members. So we do have a large number of really wonderful mental health, behavioral health, and addiction specialists in our community, although we could always use more. But what we've noticed, and, we, like I said, we talk regularly. What we've noticed is there is definitely an increase in requests for mental health and addiction treatment, which is really great. And so even though a lot of industries in our community are struggling, the behavioral health and addiction programs are actually adding staff and adding capacity because of the need. I think the other thing that's really helped with our behavioral health and addiction providers in the community is telemedicine. So for many people who are really struggling, say you're struggling with depression, and one of the symptoms that you have around depression is that you can't leave your house, or you cannot get the energy that you need to go to your appointment, or maybe you're struggling with transportation or childcare. Now you can actually see your therapist while you're sitting in your living room through telemedicine. And so that's really increased access for a lot of people in our communities. And what we've seen is, like I said, that increase in people reaching out and getting help, which is really wonderful. The other thing that we're really conscious of in our community is prevention of suicide. And so our agency is connected with the Suicide Prevention Coalition, which is a wonderful group of providers and support in the community that talk about strategies for reducing suicide in our communities. And we've known that nationally the number of people that have attempted suicide or have died by suicide has increased. In our community, it's actually been steady or a little bit less than the national average. And I think that that's a reflection of a lot of really good work that our community is doing and the support systems that we have in place.
I was going to ask you that about the suicide, because there's been a lot written and said about an increase in suicides during COVID. And I'm sort of wondering if that affected us here in Western New York as much.
Yes, and although every time somebody dies by suicide, it's really tragic and unfortunate. We in this community have not seen the increase that we've seen in other cities and nationally. But that doesn't mean that we should stop paying attention to it. Like I said before, I think the reason why we've maybe seen a steady or less people who have died by suicide is because of the good work that we've done. But that's not to say also that people aren't struggling, because what we have seen is an increase in overdoses, death by overdose, as a result of, you know, this, again, national as well as local opioid addiction epidemic. And so, you know, for people that are really struggling, I mean, as you can just imagine, you're already struggling with addiction or depression or anxiety, and then on top of it, the drastic, radical change of our lifestyles because of COVID. And, you know, for many people, they've experienced a loss in their jobs, or maybe they've lost family members, or maybe they've been sick themselves. So there's just such a cascading event that may contribute to an increase in people's concern and needs and symptoms. And so that's why it's so important now more than ever to pay attention to your self-care, as well as reaching out and getting the help that you need. I like to say, especially now as we head into, you know, the winter in the Western New York area, which for a lot of people is a real struggle, if you've ever thought that you needed to get into some treatment, if you needed to talk to somebody, I think right now it's really important to take that step before winter comes, while you're struggling. It's really, really important to make that step right now.
Well, I think a lot of winter and COVID have the one thing in common that is one of the motivating factors in a lot of mental health, which is the isolation, the which happened during COVID, and which I think happens in the winter as well, because you can't go out, you can't like see people because of COVID as well as the winter. So that's probably one of the causes of mental illness, or one of the precipitating factors, right?
Sure, yes. Loneliness and isolation is a key indicator for people's mental health and well-being. What we know, because research tells us this, is that relationships really matter. Having a relationship with people and a connection with people and a social network is really key to your mental health and well-being. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need to have 10 friends or 100 friends. It doesn't mean, you know, that you have a lot of Facebook friends. What it means is that you have some really important key relationships in your life, whether that's a best friend or a family member or a small group of people that you regularly connect with. Really, isolation and loneliness is so significant a factor in people's well-being that being able to connect with somebody is key. So one of the programs that we have at Mental Health Advocates is our peer support groups, which, like I said, are longstanding and are really, really important. We've gotten some feedback from some of our support group members about how important this support group has been for them during COVID, when they're home isolated, they're still able to connect with people. So again, luckily, the digital world can help with that. You know, having too much exposure to social media and computers and screens isn't great, but being able to communicate through Zoom meetings, through events, or just getting together with your friends over Zoom is really important and really helps us stay connected with each other.
And there's another aspect we mentioned kind of before about employers, and the other aspect of that is the loss of so many positions, so many people who are either laid off or not working or have been not able to find a job equal, a position equal to what they had before. So I think that may be also a contributing factor to mental health issues.
Yes, Penny, I agree, most definitely. I mean, our community is really struggling, and the people in our community are really struggling. And yes, if you are the person that brings home a paycheck and you lose your job, whether it's during COVID or not, that has a significant impact on your mental health and well-being. And it's true, it's really difficult right now in this time to find a job. And so for many people, that is a major struggle. And what's kind of, you know, what's really alarming to me is that we've been talking about cuts in funding. And so, and that's partly because of the state, the situation the state's in, and the fact that there's not a lot of income coming into our communities. But the thought of actually cutting these vital programs that provide such important relief for people is just really, again, one of those crises that I was talking about. We're already struggling, and COVID has just really accelerated that. And so it's more important than ever to fund these essential programs, programs like we have at the Mental Health Advocates, as well as the treatment providers in our community. It's a thing that I think that people realize and recognize, and now more than ever. So it's really alarming to think that some funding may be cut.
Tell me specifically what people who are listening who have think they or a loved one has an issue, what should they do? Who should they contact, and how should they go about it?
Sure. So what's really important is that you're able to talk with somebody. And so if you're not able to talk with your family or your friends, you certainly can call our number. And again, that's 886-1242. And then you'll reach a live person who will answer the phone, and you can talk to them about some of the struggles that you're having, and then we can help you connect to treatment providers in the community. But if you really are in crisis, where you feel like you might hurt yourself, that you really need help immediately, you should always call Crisis Services. And that number is 834-3131. And that that number will connect you with a trained person who will put you in touch with somebody immediately. So always know that you can call Crisis Services, you can call Mental Health Advocates, or there are kind of urgent care, behavioral health urgent care facilities in our community now, which is really great, so that you're able to kind of access somebody quickly. Also, you always have the option of going to ECMC, where they have a psychiatric emergency room. And again, if you're really feeling like you need help immediately, it's really important that you don't hesitate. Now is the time to reach out and ask for help. And there's no shame in that. It's really important to realize that when you're feeling really desperate and in crisis, it is so important to really just pick up the phone and talk to somebody immediately.
And what's also important is the fact that it's not like you're going to have to hopefully wait or think it over or be in line, or that you can actually call one of these numbers and talk to a real person. I can attest to that. I was trying to reach you for this interview, and when I called, a real person answered the phone, and I was like, oh my gosh, are you a real person answering? I didn't have to press this, press that. I was, this is really impressive. And I was just trying to reach you for the interview, so I was impressed with that.
Yes, it's really important that we have that live person on the line. And, of course, it makes sense, especially if you're struggling. And, you know, the other thing that I just wanted to mention is that for some people, that struggle that they're having right now isn't to the level of crisis. And, you know, I had mentioned Michelle Obama because I think it's really important for all of us to realize that it's really hard right now. It's really difficult to be dealing with this pandemic. It's also a struggle to deal with what's happening in society, and a lot of people are experiencing, again, what we call collective trauma, and really, you know, generations of trauma and systemic racism. There's so much happening right now that is impacting our mental health and well-being. And one of those things that I think is occurring now is something that's happened because we're 7 months into this pandemic, right? So in March, when this started happening, we were all dealing with a crisis, a short-term crisis, we thought, right? So our adrenaline was pumping. We were dealing with it with COVID. We were all going to work together to try to prevent this pandemic. And now we're 7 months in, and there's a researcher, her name is Tara Haley, and she says that our surge capacity is depleted. And what that basically means is that we've been at this heightened level of adrenaline surge and trying to struggle through this pandemic for a long time. And for some of us, now is the time where we're just really struggling. You know, we just find that we might be more exhausted. We might be short-tempered. We might be more irritable. And that's what I want to say about that, is it's so normal to feel that way. And so for some of us, it's not the crisis that we're in, but it's this ongoing kind of dread or depression or an increase in our anxiety symptoms. And it's all really very natural and normal to be feeling those things.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for telling us all of this, and for also making us feel better by saying what you just said. You know, where many of us are suffering from this, and you didn't add the second part, but it'll get better. So thank you, Melinda. Thanks so much. We've been talking to Melinda Dubois, who's the executive director of Mental Health Advocates of Western New York. You've been listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We'll see you again next week. Have a very good and safe week, everybody. Bye-bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.